everybody. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by my great co-host, the great Chris Schaefer. Yes. Hey, Chris, how's it going today?
Jason, I am well. As you know, I immediately would like to talk about the weather rather than myself. So it's nice, a little warm. Wish it could be cooler. It's October, still in the 90s. I'll let you Canadians look that up to figure out what that means. But it's a good day. You know, I've been busy. You know, I work all day, work hard, work all day. I am just 3 feet away from my play area, you know, which is where I have like the things that I enjoy for hobbies. And I'll just say one thing. We could talk about it in Patreon afterwards if you're interested. You're usually not, which is fine. Kind of like my wife. As you're even backing away now. Gloomhaven. I'll just say that. Gloomhaven. My time is gone. I have no time. All things Gloomhaven. So anyway, how are you, Jason?
How am I? Haven't checked in and don't really want to know, so because I don't think it's good. So
that's a good answer.
Cynthia's on she's on vacation. Oh. And yeah, it's getting real.
You showered.
Bachelor.
So you
up in here.
You've showered. That's nice of you to do. You know, brushed your hair and you know, look nice. That's good. Cause
thank you.
That's, you know, usually unless there's someone there to look at me, I'm not going to bother with those things. All right. So let's get into it. Guys, we got a good show today. We're going to get into some nitty gritty.
No, Chris, stuff. We got to be honest with them. I mean, what was that? What was that banter? What was that? That was garbage. And the truth is, we got our banter out before we hit recording, so we're sorry about that. It was good stuff. You guys should have been there.
That's true, yeah.
But we missed it this week. It was real good. It was funny, but the recording wasn't on.
Yeah, we just can't. There's some things we just can't put on air, and you'll have to be at the live Paid Search Podcast meetup, which is happening someday once we meet in person, which we're getting people that are rooting for us. We've gotten emails that say we're rooting for you guys to meet in person. Me too.
No, the phrase he used was IRL, some kind of weird internet.
That's true. Yeah.
Phrase in real life. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what that means?
I hate saying internet. I don't know. It means in real life, but I hate saying internet phrases because he used it in his email. But I also have this gut feeling that it's something like something weird that I just said in real life.
Surely not.
So
there's nothing weird on the internet, Jason.
All right, Chris. Well,
let's get into it. Let's start with
let's get into it.
The number one.
Oh, Chris. By the way, let me just tease him. We got some good stuff today. We're gonna tease next week. We're gonna talk about this week. It's all coming together here. I got a good feeling about this episode. Oh, by the way, I got a great feeling about last week. We got so many great reviews from last week.
Ooh.
So much feedback. It was nice.
It was a fun dude. I mean, you threw the hammer away and just brought the sledgehammer. I mean, you just heavy hitting good stuff. You know, like I said, when there's pain, you get wisdom, right? I mean, when pain happens, you get knowledge and wisdom and you just shared it with us. So go back and listen to 170 if you guys missed out on that. Great episode. So let's talk about something real quick that's very important. A word from our sponsor, Optio. Optio is an online tool that you can use to manage and improve and optimize your Google Ads campaigns. This is a tool for somebody who has one account or has 15, 30, 40, 100 accounts. This system is designed to alert you to things that go wrong with your campaign that you are not aware of. Keyword problems, problems with budget, problems with ad copy, or things turning off, turning on, errors, who knows? When you're sleeping, it's going to email you an alert. It's going to alert you, and you can check in this beautiful dashboard. And as our friend Sarah in the forums has pointed out, which I greatly appreciate, it is mobile friendly. You can use it from your phone. Jason, I mean, how great is that? Driving in the car, working on Google Ads at the same time. I mean, you're making money before you even start making money. Always safe. I'm sure Optio does not approve using it in your car while you're driving, and neither do we. So that's at opteo.com/PSP. Try it out for a 6-week extended trial.
Thank you, Chris. And I want to thank Directive Consulting for sponsoring today's episode. Directive Consulting is the go-to B2B and enterprise search engine marketing agency. If you have a B2B account you need help with, an enterprise account you need help with, it's different than the small little campaigns we sometimes talk about. Directive specializes in B2B. They specialize in enterprise. And the way they do it is that they're able to do all the different channels online. SEO, pay-per-click, conversion rate optimization, content, social media advertising, digital PR, analytics. They do it all. They find out what's the best way to get leads, and then they help you scale that. So we recommend getting a free custom proposal at directiveconsulting.com, Directive Consulting, B2B and Enterprise Search Engine Marketing Agency, directiveconsulting.com. Go there today and get a free custom proposal.
Jason, tell me good things about myself. We have a review. Tell me good things. I like compliments. Is it compliment time?
Have you seen this week's review?
No. I never look ahead because okay. I don't like spoilers.
Okay. Because it's pretty funny you said that. So reviews, we appreciate you guys' reviews. And ratings. Ratings on Apple Podcasts. Ratings and or reviews. Those help grow the show. We're at 206 now in America. Amazing. Internationally, keep growing those on your own Apple Podcast app. But keep helping us get those reviews. I will stop talking about Apple ratings and reviews when we get to 250. Wow. We're at 26. We just got to get to 250. Get us up there.
And
we're now in the top 25 marketing podcasts in the United States. And I want to get to number one because why shouldn't the number one marketing podcast be only about one platform, Google Ads?
That's an excellent point. What does anything else matter but Google Ads? Yeah, we should be there.
So keep leaving us those ratings and reviews. We appreciate it. This week's Apple Podcast Review of the Week comes from Dan Cohn in the United Arab Emirates.
Oh, wow. Never been there.
And he leaves 5 stars, amazing podcast. Thank you guys. You are doing such a great work. P.S. I wouldn't listen if there was no Jason. No offense, Chris. And then he did a crying emoji.
Absolutely.
No offense, Chris.
I wouldn't be here if there wasn't a Jason. You would never even hear. So absolutely, I totally agree. So thankful.
Yeah, I mean, don't take that one too harsh, Chris, because no. There's some other review that's coming up soon in a coming week where they basically say the opposite. You know what they say is they're like, no, it's someone wrote in a question and maybe you put it down for our Q&A, but they were like, I love your guys' show. You both are so awesome. Jason, no offense, but this one's for Chris.
Right.
This question's for Chris because he's a Google partner. And then it was some basic question about like bidding and stuff. And I was like on two accounts, like the Google partner thing. Okay, that's like, we don't have to get into it, but I think things are a little different than he thinks. And then asking me a bidding question, like what? It's just, I don't know if it's, it's because of your sign.
He mentioned my sign in the back and he's like, well, hang on. I noticed Chris has a sign. I want to ask a question. And today I'm wearing
shots like if he's being genuine or if he's just like being sarcastic, but I don't know. But so yeah, we're even on that. But Chris, we're doing no edits here. We do no edits.
No edit.
So
no edit
if Rachel
podcast.
Thinks it's good to cut this out of audio, feel free. But we're not cutting out of the video. But I have a genuine question for you, Chris. About your studio setup. It's not happening. Oh, it just happened. And I could expose you right now, but I don't think I'm going to. I am seeing some light, some strobe light, like bouncing light. And it's very hard to look at. And the reason it's bouncing is because I think when it's not right now, but I think when you hit your computer, some light in your room is bouncing. And I'm not going to say what kind of light that is because I don't want to expose you. But is it that or do you have a window open or something?
No, it's because I have a huge monitor. I mean, nobody's seen bigger. Yeah.
Nothing on the monitor?
And when I hit my desk, the monitor will shake. And so will the camera, which is attached to it. So the whole thing will kind of, and so it makes it look like the lights flashing. But no, it's not my beauty light, Jason, if that's what you're alluding to. I'm not embarrassed. I need something to make me look a little better online because as the eye candy of the group, you know, I can't let age.
Well, it's just weird that this week it's doing it and it hasn't before.
I'm sorry
and,
it's bothering you.
It's not stopping. Apparently, it's not stopping. So, you know what? I'm going to be the bigger co-host here. I'm going to be the professional and I'm going to power through.
Oh, thank you for being so strong, Jason.
Even though it's hurting my eyes.
So strong. Okay, I'm sorry. I will not touch my desk at all to make you more comfortable.
No, no, it doesn't matter. It's not about, because you're not touching your desk and it's still going. So it's okay. You know what? We'll roll with it and I'll get my anger out somewhere else. So everybody, we got the forum, forum.paidsearchpodcast.com. We're up to 100 users on there now. I think when we get to 1,000, that's when we kind of get to that power number where it's going to really take off.
We have a pizza party.
Little way to go.
I think we're doing a pizza party.
We'll have a pizza party. Take a picture of your pizza slice, half eaten, 3 days old, whatever you want. Weird stuff in the background and post it in a thread. So that's what the forum's about.
Pizza party.
And then paidsearchpodcast.archive, or excuse me, paidsearchpodcast.com/archive is where you can get the first 100 episodes. So, Chris, news, can you make the sound? Someone has already signed a contract with another city. They're totally out of this city's market. They just haven't put in their 2 weeks yet because that was a horrible sound. You don't care about your news job anymore.
No. I'm now a Google Ads manager, no longer a newscaster.
Chris, you've got a new career you'd like to tell us about. Please tell us about that. Morning news, local news.
No.
So the news is that we've known about this for a while. But it finally happened today.
Yeah, it did.
And it feels a little different.
Yep.
Average position column is gone.
Gone. We're going to talk about that in the after show Patreon. So be sure and join there. $2 a month. If you want to join and listen in, we always talk about stuff a little more in depth about the business of Google Ads. And
we're thinking about next week doing a whole episode on how to manage your campaigns now that average position is gone.
Oh, we are thinking
about I've got that. Some thoughts on that. Yeah. Okay. So we might do the whole episode. So if you guys want to hear that, if that's a problem you have, let us know.
Okay.
During the week, Facebook, Twitter.
Do I get a vote?
Write in on the episode. You don't want to do it because you never want to do an episode. So your vote is overruled. Because I have, Chris, you may as well roll down or curl up or wear a helmet or something because the bus is rolling over you today.
You're
okay.
Right. Yeah. It's a rough day, but that's every day. That's every Thursday on the Paid Search Podcast, which is when we record. Well, let me take it from here. I feel like we're 15 minutes in and we've done nothing but spin our bus tires. So let's take it to the meat. Let's go past the bread into the meat. All right. So today what we're talking about is getting results in a month. I mean, this honestly, I think is a bar in which for many campaigns is not something that you can accomplish reasonably. But for many of our listeners and people who are working in-house, they have a boss or they have a client looking over their shoulder and they're saying, okay, here's $1,000, here's $500. I'm going to talk to you again in 30 days. Let me know how this thing goes. You have a month to prove that you've done something. And what can we do? How can we make it work? How can we show that we've gotten some kind of results? What kind? And we're going to go into three areas of how you can make this happen. We're going to talk about structure, how you structure your campaign and your ad groups. We're going to talk about bidding, and we're going to talk about the optimization process within those 30 days. And then in the end, we're going to lay it all out, and it's going to be great. You're going to love it. You've never seen a better podcast in your life.
Chris, that pressure you mentioned cannot be better verbalized than Sarah in our forum, who inspired this episode in the episode ideas thread where people can leave ideas for episode. Sarah said, quote, I'd also like to hear more about getting results quicker on young campaigns. The end of month anxiety on new campaigns inevitably rears its ugly head, even though I know this stuff takes time. So if there's a better way to explain the pressure, the frustration of getting results in the first month, I don't know what it would be because that's a perfect way to put it. New campaigns, anxiety, end of month. You know it's going to take longer, but you still have to show results during the first month. Boom. So first, Chris, why this matters? Clients expect results. They put $1,000, they put $5,000 in. It's the first month. They want results. But you and I both know these results take time to get. So the whole point is, how do we get them happy, show them Google Ads works within that first 30 days and make them want to continue, both for, you know, you want clients to continue running so you have a job, but also for their business to make sure they're not missing out on Google Ads for years to come and don't give up too early. How do you fill that bucket, but also fill the bucket of, hey, it does take time. We may not get results in the first month. In Patreon, we're going to talk more about the business side of things. And then on this episode in the Paid Search Podcast, we're going to talk about the actual AdWords strategy side of things. So, Chris, starting off with structure, you say that small campaign sizes in your first month are a way to get results in the first month. So what do you mean by small campaign sizes?
Okay. So I think this is important. I'm going to start this with the number one most difficult and I would say dumb question of Google Ads is how much did I spend? Okay. I'm going to say that's probably the worst.
How much
question.
Could?
Yeah. How much should I spend?
Probably yeah.
Is, okay. Is, yeah. Is the worst question when it comes to Google Ads. And the reason for that is because no one knows the future. Okay. So it's no matter what the answer to that question is.
I know a lot of agencies who know, who produce nice PDFs.
True. Oh, I got a good answer, sir. Here's my price points. Let me point you towards the highest one. The answer is no one knows how much you should spend. And it doesn't matter if the answer is 500 or 5,000. This first structure point does not matter how much you spend. Okay. No matter how much you spend, I want you to go with this idea. Small campaign sizes, simplicity, because, and I've said this many times, there's two points in a Google Ads campaign. There's the build, and then there's the optimization. Okay, when you're in the build, when you're starting something new, you don't have data to back up complexity. You don't have reason to build 1,500 ad groups. And I say 1,500 because I'm working on a campaign right now that I got from somebody else, or a client that hired me this week, and he came from an agency who built one campaign with 1,500 ad groups, Jason. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the thing is, all but 10% don't have impressions, right? So the complexity of this build is completely pointless until you have data to prove that there's something behind those keywords. So start simple. And the reason for this is you're going to be able to make better decisions at a faster pace. And I speak from personal experience. Jason, I know you would say the same thing as well. When you jump into a campaign, day two, day three, day four, and you see something like 1,500 campaigns, try and wrap your brain around what you're saying. I mean, it's extremely overwhelming.
1,500 ad groups.
Sorry. Yeah, 1,500 ad groups. Thank you. Yeah. It's overwhelming.
So by small campaigns, do you mean number of campaigns? Do you mean, obviously you're saying number of ad groups. So if it's not 1,500 on the high end and it's not zero on the low end, because you need at least one ad group, how many ad groups are we talking? And then I also want to know, small campaigns, you obviously mean number of ad groups. So you're going to give us that number. And then what about the number of campaigns themselves? Can you answer that question, or is that more of a, you need more information?
I'm going to be cocky enough to answer both of those questions and be so confident that everyone's going to believe me, okay? I'm going to make such a poignant point that it's going to be like, oh, that's obviously true. That's so true. He said it so confidently, and he's on the internet. So here's the thing. When you want to know how many campaigns, the answer is how many different geographic locations make a difference in your bottom line. If Texas, for example, is something that you're targeting, and you're also targeting Oklahoma, but Texas provides 80% of your revenue, right? But you also have 20% that's represented by Oklahoma. Don't split the two into one campaign if it makes a drastic difference. Most of the time, people aren't going to be able to say Oklahoma is only 20% and Texas is 80. You know, most of the time, it's just kind of, there's not a clear distinction. So I'd say for most campaigns, you would just do both of them. But if you have a very clear distinction between things like that, you know, either a type of product, or location of the search, where it's showing. If you have some clear distinction that happens at the campaign level, which is geographic location, time of day, day of the week, you know, stuff like that, then okay, it might be worth it. But for the majority of accounts, one campaign is going to be enough. Okay, so on to the next question. The next question is, how many ad groups should I have? Again, super confident. I am Mr. Confident Man. I'm going to give you a solid answer. You're going to say, absolutely, that's correct. The answer is, how many different pages do you have for products and services? Or, let's say if you do plumbing, do you have a sink and a toilet and then a general plumbing emergency page? Three ad groups, maybe four. Maybe take that and add one or two to that, right? Because you might have a general, You might have a sink. You might have a toilet. You have an emergency. That's four. Done. You don't need to immediately start building out campaigns for geographic areas. You know, you don't need all 20 cities and you need 20 different ad groups for each of the cities. No. Right now, you just need to know.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dallas, Fort Worth. Let's do Houston. So Houston. No. Let's do Los Angeles. Los Angeles. No. Trying to think of a good example here. Let's do Chicago. Okay.
A real city.
You got Chicago, right? It's called Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then around Chicago, you got Schaumburg. You got whatever else is around Chicago. You know what I'm saying?
You just named one. Okay.
I'm not gonna pull up Google Maps on the sneak while I'm doing it. I don't care. Like, you guys know the suburbs of Chicago. But let's say there's, like, you know, you've seen Chicago, Chris, doing campaigns. There's like a handful of quote unquote suburbs or whatever that are like within the Chicago metro, but people call them their own. Like, if someone is on a business trip and they're in Los Angeles or from Chicago, they go, where do you live? They go, I'm from Chicago. But if they're in Chicago, they go, where do you live? They'll go, oh, I'm from Schaumburg, right, or whatever, exactly. Like the little town. So you're saying you're a plumber. You don't need an ad group for each of those five suburbs if you do the whole metro. You're saying just start with one?
And there's a clear reason. People are going to say, that's crazy. I mean, I need to be able to show specific ads to people that are searching for certain areas. The two reasons why you shouldn't. Number one is because you don't have pages for those specific locations. Why in the world are you going to write ads to say, here's an ad for this location, and then send them to your general page?
Ooh, no. Good question. Yeah.
Because if you would have answered the first question right, where you had 16 different location pages, okay. But you don't. You have three pages for three different services. You use those three. The number two reason why you should do it this way is because we're focused on getting results quickly, seeing how the campaign can be improved and what the momentum behind the campaign is at the beginning. Not you assume you're going to do this for 1 month and you're going to shut it off. Don't spend 16 hours working on a campaign build and then get fired or your boss say, nope, that's it, $500 and it's over, and it's wasted effort.
All right, so I'm very conflicted here because before this episode, I kind of told you I agree with these things.
Oh, I like it.
But you're like taking me into uncharted waters I'm not comfortable with, but I want to be comfortable with. Like, so Chris, in all seriousness, I'm so torn. Like, I feel like I'm dating the older guy in high school right now, and you're doing things to my emotions, I don't want to do, like, I just feel like I'm being toyed with here, but I like being toyed with because I told you I like starting small. I agree with all this. And then you've gone full-blown radical on me. Like, I've never built, let's get real. I've never built a campaign where it's just like one or two ad groups and I don't do the geos. Like, I'm just like trained like a monkey, like do the geos, you know? Right. So I do the geos. But now that I'm hearing you say it, kind of sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, it's not, because I did build out the geos for this account the other week and it was dumb. Because it took so much time.
It did. There you go.
And now I want to do all these things now that I'm getting data, but I can't do them because I've got all these ad groups. And by all these ad groups, I mean 12.
Yep.
But it's still hard to maneuver from there and grow from there. So let me ask you a question here. You are selling me, dude. Because number one, when the other people are having their meeting about the structure of the campaign
that's right.
and laying out
yeah.
the 15 ad groups yeah. or the 1500.
You're done.
And then they break for lunch and then they take a photo and hashtag agency life on Instagram.
Right.
And then you know what? They play a game of ping pong and let's call it a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they come back tomorrow to start the build.
Mm-hmm.
You've already turned the build on hours ago
yep.
or turned the campaign on. You got your one or two ad groups going. You're getting data that day.
Mm-hmm.
And the data is good because you know how to control your keywords. So I am sold on this. The next time I do a build, I don't think I'm going to do my geos. I think I am going to literally base it on the services they offer. And we'll talk about how you can grow from there. But first, let me ask you, is it fair to say you don't have to do this every time? Like, what if I'm working with a client where I know they're going to give me more rope than 30 days? So we're going to have more room to prove ourselves.
Okay.
I know, because I've worked in this industry before, we are going to need these geos and these different ad groups and all that. And I know what the keywords are for them. So in that case, I can do my normal 10 all the way up to maybe 15 ad groups, whatever.
Okay.
And yeah, plan for the long term. But if I'm under pressure and it's a new person to Google Ads and they want results that month and they're not going to be asking me why we don't have 10 ad groups, blah, blah, blah. They just want results. Then I can use this super start small approach. Is it fair to have both tools in my toolbox?
Yeah. You laid out the point that breaks the whole system. I am sticking religiously to the core question about what do I
okay,
do,
I got you.
You know, this first month sweat. I'm trying to break down and trying to get something moving in the first month, assuming that I may not have a second month. And if you know that you're going to have much longer, somebody's like, I'm in it with long, you know, I'm in it for 6 months. I'm in it for a year.
You already know the industry.
Yeah. Then you already have some experience. You know where things are probably going to go. Okay. Don't start with one or two. Don't start with three. You can probably be a little more complicated with it. But in the end, I enjoy simplicity because I don't want
to. I am so blown away because you've put a new tool in my toolbox here.
Nice.
Like, I did not have this radical. Yeah, literally just start with one ad group. Like, I thought I was the radical by saying we're only going to build out 10 ad groups when we start. But I love that you've enlightened me and now I have this. No, when the time calls for it, we can start a campaign with one ad group or one or two ad groups or however many services they have. So it's defined by services. So within those ad groups, tell me about the ads, how many ads, how many keywords, what kind of keywords?
Okay, so limited number of ad groups, and then use three or more word modified broad keywords. Okay, so let me break that down. So when you have, we always talk about plumbing. So when you,
Chris, you have planned this out. I didn't even see that note there.
Yeah,
like, yeah. You're even getting down to don't mess with exact phrase. Broad match modified. You'll get the benefits of high volume, but you'll get the benefits of quality because you're locking it down with three or more modified.
There you go.
You're freaking good, dude.
How many pins do you have there? Okay, so here's so if you pick your keywords, they need to have three words.
I got backups.
Oh, that's good.
New pens.
Open up new ones. That's good. You keep breaking them. So when you pick keywords, they need to have three words, right? Not just plumbing company, right? That's going to be too broad. You're going to spend all your money on stuff like that. Try and be precise with some of these. They need to have three words in them. And they
can a plumbing company go on Shark Tank? You want to spend your money on that?
Exactly.
That's what two-word broad match modified would be.
Funny plumbing video 2017. You know, I mean, that's what you're going to get a bunch of dumb stuff. So pick more specific terms. Modified broad is fine. I wouldn't even mess with exact match unless you just really have to, but keep it limited. Then in each of the ad groups,
and modifiers on all the words.
Modifiers on all the words.
Plus on all the words.
A plus in front of every word. Exactly.
And at least three words long.
And three words long. And then
at least three words. It can be more.
Well, if you get to four or five words and they all have pluses, you're going to get a bunch of low search volume.
Wow.
So
okay.
I wouldn't go too.
So crazy. You're doing if it's Chicago, you're doing plumbers in Chicago, all modified. Plumbing company Chicago, all modified.
Yeah.
Plumbing company Schaumburg, all modified.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some simple. Grab the big terms.
Freaking
yeah.
simple.
Three words, and then three ads in each ad group. Okay. And then, for the last thing here is you wonder, well, what kind of, you know, what level of the funnel? If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to 160 episodes that we have on the other shows. But the level of the funnel, you're going to focus, I'm going to say 80% on low funnel and 20% on high. So what I mean by that is toilet repair plumber might be a low funnel and plumbing companies Chicago might be high funnel. That's kind of the idea that I'm talking about, you know. So grab a majority of more precise stuff and then a few, maybe 20% high funnel that are more general that could basically capture anything.
Okay. And plumbers is a hard one just off the top of the head to get 80% non plumbing company Chicago,
right?
Like deeper than that. The service industries are kind of hard in that regard.
I mean,
regard.
Like emergency
it's mostly
plumber.
Low funnel.
Emergency plumber's a little better than just plumber, right? You know, so you can find these. Basically, if it has that description, that modifier in there that has something to do with toilet, emergency, weekend, sink, something like that, that makes it lower funnel than just the word plumbers, Chicago, today, you know, something like that. You know, that's That's it. That's it for structure. That's it.
Now, why three ads? Why not one? If we're going full radical small here.
Well, because the thing is,
because you're trained and brainwashed to do more than one ad, and you can't give it up. Well, everything else you've just stripped away and given up. So why not get with this strategy?
Yeah, I don't really have a reason.
I don't know. It's a question. I don't really know because I've been pressured
to do
by
three.
Certain people to add up to add more than three ads in an aggregate.
More than that's true.
Four to seven at least, yeah. And things are intimated to me like, quality score will go up if you like. I don't know the answer to those questions. So I don't know how many ads you need. I know it doesn't seem like a good practice to have less than three for sure. But if it's just about starting small, can you throw one in there?
That's true.
Maybe two, switch out the headline on the second one. Will you still show? I think you will. I don't know if I feel comfortable recommending it, but I think you'll still show.
I mean, yeah, that's true. Three is probably a bit aggressive. Two is minimum. But I would say my main thing is at least you can make some decisions on ad copy by month two. You'll have some good data, assuming you get, a couple hundred clicks.
Can I caveat it this way? Forget whatever you're doing with your ad descriptions. They're so long.
Yeah.
You don't need to redo those on each of the three ad groups. Get your descriptions you like, description one, description two, whatever, or however many there are now. Leave them in there. They're great. And then when you make your three ads, the thing you're doing different, it's just the headlines in the three ads. Does that keep it simple?
Yeah, I like that. Super quick. Yeah, just create a template. Boom, boom, boom. You've got three and you just change the headlines around, call to action, stuff like that. So
bidding.
Yeah, we get into bidding. This is the stuff that everybody gets so uptight about. When I do consulting training with listeners of the show and my clients, this is what people always get intimidated about. It's the big two words, manual bidding. I mean, that's the number one suggestion. And the reason for this is because it all compounds on each other. If you have less keywords, it's less intimidating on trying to decide which keyword should have which bid. Imagine having 300 keywords and trying to do manual bidding and deciding, should I bid this one up or down? Versus 20 keywords, right? It's a lot less intimidating. And that's the big thing here. You need to be able to work with something. Something needs to happen and you need to have something that you can manage. So manual bidding is going to be important. I'm not going to go into how to make decisions because, listen to the other 100.
Well, no, Chris, people are going to, the number one thing they're going to say if we don't address it is, how do I know what to set my bids at? If it's so easy, so quick.
I don't think I have a solid answer for just anyone on that. It feels like a more complex topic.
Well, then people are going to do automated bids.
No.
If they don't know what to set them at. I'm just saying, if we're trying to give people the super starter easy start thing, you got to have something about bidding in there.
That's true.
So trying to think about it, if you don't know the industry, hey, numbnuts, here's everybody listening. It's not that hard. Let's just solve it once and for all. How about you find you great, nice listeners and audience out there?
No edits.
And I'm not talking to our audience. No I'm talking edits. To the world in general.
Right, not you guys.
We're past that.
Okay, let's get into manual bidding.
No, Chris. No, people, manual bidding. Here's my point. How about just we have a universal rule? Set your bids at $5.
Yeah, I was going to say $3, $5.
Does that apply to every to every industry?
Sure.
Whether it's mesothelioma or selling white socks, okay? Set it at $5. If you're selling socks, you might be able to spend your full budget. You might see your cost per click come in at $2. I have no idea. I've never sold socks online. So you won't get in too much trouble. If you do mesothelioma, you won't get any impressions because you have to bid hundreds of dollars. Right. And you'll go, $5 didn't work. Let me look in the keyword planner. It says that they're starting at 80, probably more like 500, whatever. But $5 didn't work. Let me go to 10. Oh, I didn't get any impressions over this hour. I'm not seeing myself in the preview tool. Mm. How about that for a check?
I like that.
Oh, 10's not getting me done there. Let me do 20. I mean, just start at a couple dollars, see what happens, And also use the keyword planner and then also use the preview tool.
And to clarify,
and see how high you need to go.
When we say manual keyword bidding, we don't mean you change every single keyword and pick $3, $2, $4, $6 for individual keywords. Bid, like Jason talked about last episode, bid at the ad group level. Okay. Don't get overheated on trying to pick individual. That comes into later. We'll talk about that in a second. Just bid everything at $3 all the way down. I love that. $3, $5, whatever you want to do, all the way down. Done. Leave it, right?
Whatever you want to do, open up the preview tool, see if you're showing. If it says your ad rank's not high enough or whatever, then you can increase your bids because it's manual, because it's just a five-second change. Then you can look again in the preview tool, and see if you're there. Use the keyword planner, see what it says for suggested bid. Add those suggested bid columns, whatever they're called, and you can probably figure it out.
Yep.
Get on the forum, ask people.
Okay, so here's where it gets a little more complicated. And if you are not comfortable with this, I would say this is an optional step. But remember I mentioned low funnel keywords up in step number one for structure? Grab the ones that are 20% high funnel, the stuff that's very wide reaching, you know, basically to use the example, plumbers in Chicago, those three words together, all modified broad, that's a pretty high funnel. Pull the bids down a little bit. Pull them down a little bit lower than the others. Allow the low funnel keywords to get more volume if they can, and then let the high funnel get less with lower bids. You know, if you want to do a percentage, say one of them's, you know, the low funnel is 5, the high funnel's 250. Start with that.
Thank you for that suggestion. I will not be doing that.
Okay. Well, you got a reason?
Or just I just feel like if you're going to start bidding at the keyword level, things can get a little
20%,
a little more complex.
20% of the keywords.
I really have fallen.
So if you have 10, so if you have 10 keywords, that means you change 2 of them. That's it. Just 2.
I see your logic there. I see your logic.
Not a big deal.
It's Chris, you gotta understand, it's very hard for a non-radical to see things the way they look when you become a radical and only have 10 keywords. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm picturing like 50 keywords or something.
Yeah.
You know? And then you got to figure out which ones are bid that way.
Yeah. It gets intimidating there. But if you have, you know, 20 keywords, you know.
Okay. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Okay. Last thing. This gets a little bit into the optimization, which is our third step. But I'll say this. Unless you are able to maintain a search impression share above 80%, do not let the ads maintain more than 50% absolute top position. Getting a little complicated here. We're throwing in some numbers, okay? But let me do some math examples for you. Joe has a 30% search impression share. Very poor, very low. It's not very good. And he has a 80% absolute top position. Joe is bidding too high. He's doing it wrong. And if Sally has an 80% search impression share, and she has a 80% absolute top position. Sally is doing a good job. Sally's doing it right because she's bidding aggressively, but she can afford to bid aggressively. So this all has to do with percentage difference and ratios, and it's just a rule of thumb. Some people, we're going to get angry emails. I'm going to get a FedEx of somebody with just, you know, who just poops in a box and be like, that's the dumbest I've ever. Okay, I know. You're going to be mad. It's a general. I'm trying to lay it out for everyone. That's it. Send your poop.
I do think, and this is kind of previewing next week's episode, but now that average position is gone, if it's about getting results in month one and getting solid results and the most you can for the budget, I think definitely paying attention to that absolute top position metric is important, because if that's 100%, that means you're showing up number one all the time. What we would call in the old days, average position 1.0. And they would say, well, 1.0 didn't mean it was above the ads. It could have been below ads or below organic. And that's why we put in these new metrics. You know what I say to that? I say,
no edits.
Blah, 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 blah.
No edits.
I still associate 1.0 with showing up at the top of the page. Call me crazy. Above the organic results. So if you're doing that, that means you probably can lower your bids and get away with showing up less in the absolute top position,
right. But
still high enough to get clicks and spend your budget. So that's getting you good manual bid results in the first month. So you're focusing on that absolute top impression share and making sure it's not too high.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And then last, this is the fun part. You've moved past the setup, the bidding. This is the fun part. You're moving into optimization. This is the part when you actually have data. And then by the final 2 weeks of the month, you should lower bids or pause some of the keywords based on the quality of traffic and or the conversion metrics. So at least, you know, you've gone 2-3 weeks through this thing, you should be able to identify a couple keywords or at least some negative keywords to add or some bids to adjust that are like, this is some crap keywords. This is spending a lot of money. It's getting nothing. I don't like the search terms. You should be able to identify that within 3 weeks, definitely by 4 weeks, right? And then at this point, if you find some of those, you can replace those really high spending modified broad keywords with more specific phrase and exact match. So plumbers in Chicago might be a super high spending keyword. It's not really working for you. And you would replace it with plumbers near X city that can fix a sink. You know, who knows? That's a little too specific, but
whatever comes in the search terms report.
Right, exactly.
You just add it.
The stuff you like.
Add it as phrase or exact.
You start getting some, you know, calls or, you know, you start getting some search terms that you like. Use those to replace those high spending modified broad. And here's what you get. You get a campaign that slowly starts to be more and more complex with some targeted. Slowly. That's right. We're talking 2 or 3 weeks in here. You know, not in the first 2 days.
2 months.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about month one. This is a month one discussion.
I know. Well, Chris, talking about optimizing. Again, I've never done this because I've never been this radical. But let me ask you a question. Because I want to know what happens after you get past month one. Does this campaign turn into 10, 15 ad groups with geo ad groups and ads that match the ad group and all that kind of stuff as time goes on? So like if I'm looking at my search terms report in month one and I'm in the Chicago metro and I see a bunch of searches for Schomburg coming in and then I go, oh, okay, that's something that's going to get volume. And then I just go to editor, copy and paste the ad group. So I have the ads. Edit the ads to say Schomburg, edit the name of the new ad group to say Schomburg, and then go into that ad group and only leave in the Schomburg keywords and pause everything else and add in more Schomburg keywords.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like my optimization for that afternoon. And then maybe a week later, I get in there and I go, oh, this other suburb is getting tons, or the word emergency is getting tons. So then I just slowly start building ad groups with ads that match the ad group. And
that's it.
So if I see one of your radical 2-3 ad group campaigns starting on day one to get results in month one, if I see them a year later, do they look radically different in terms of more ad groups, way more keywords?
They should. Yeah. You know, I mean, hopefully.
Okay. So you can build from it. That's absolutely the goal. You can build.
Absolutely. Now, sometimes, sometimes you might not be able to play ball and have individual landing pages for each of those. And sometimes it may not be worth doing it because you're still sending them to a crappy service page that doesn't really address, you know, specific aspects of your service. So yes, you know, but that gets more complex. It depends on how easy it is for you to build new pages on your website for that kind of topic. But in general,
but this thing can start small and you can use the editor, copy and pasting, all that to grow and grow and grow.
Yep. Yep. That's it. And that's the pitch. That's the whole pitch of this process. The pitch is it starts simple. It establishes a trend that will grow into a tight, focused account that continues to improve, 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 and get really
so the next time
traffic.
An advertiser comes to me and they want to start advertising, I should, with them for 15 minutes, build out a campaign on the phone and turn it on and call that the build. I mean, let's get radical here, you know?
That's crazy.
You start it, you get your settings right, you get an ad group in there, you throw in one keyword, plumbers in Chicago, broad match modified, and then you just turn it on. You start adding keywords, you start adding search terms that you see come through as exact and phrase, and you start adding ad groups as needed. I think this is revolutionary.
Thank you. That's two in a row. You delivered and I delivered.
Do you know how much stress and time in the last 5 years I've spent on build?
Yes, I do. You
and
you were the build master.
I used to be a skagger. Yeah, I was the king of skag, but I was all skagged out. You know, had skag all over me, blah, blah, blah. But in the recent years, I've totally changed from that. You know what I mean? And now I'm doing 10 ad groups, 12 ad groups. But Chris, 10 ad groups, 12 ad groups, I'm telling you, that's still a lot of stress and time. It's not easy. It's not quick. And the thing is, like you're saying, when you turn it on and then like half of them don't get any impressions at all, I'm going through that right now with one of my campaigns. 3 ad groups out of like 15 are getting impressions.
There you go.
So shouldn't have I just started day one in the first hour with those 3 ad groups instead of building out 15 that took a whole day, you know? and then monitoring them and then tweaking them. I think you've really radicalized me.
Love it.
I think I am going to quote unquote build this way going forward. And this is going to change everything, I think. And I'm not kidding. Like I've had it up to here with builds and architecture plans and blueprints of campaigns and all this kind of nonsense. I'm going back to simplicity, and I'm going to rule the world and do it better than anybody else, because I think this really works. That's just a place to get started. I think it works.
That's it. Okay. Well, I have one last tip. One last tip is, once you're optimizing, once you're moving through the process, try out one of our sponsors, Optio. Optio.com/PSP. Great tool to help you continue to optimize and improve. You get a 6-week trial, not 4 weeks like those scrubs out there who don't know to go to optio.com/PSP. This is a 6-week trial, all for free. Try it out. You're going to like it.
Just try it out. And I want to thank Directive Consulting, the go-to B2B and enterprise search engine marketing agency. You deserve more. They will figure out how to get you quality leads, and then they will figure out how to scale that for your B2B and enterprise campaign. They do it all: SEO, pay-per-click, conversion rate optimization, content, social media advertising, digital PR, analytics. Check out their website. Check out some of the brands they've worked with. Very impressive. Check out their case studies and get a free custom proposal at directiveconsulting.com.
All right, that's it. We're going to go into the Patreon, where we're going to talk a bit more about this. If you want to join us, go to our website, Paid Search Podcast. Be sure and check out all of our old episodes that are on the archive. And if not, we'll catch you next Monday. Have a good one.